It's Thursday, April 20th, 2017, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 183, Sick Turns on Rainbow Road. Runtime for this episode is 43 minutes.
Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that avoids blue shells. My name is Jeremy.
I have three green shells blocking the incoming red shells. I'm Tyler.
I'm better than Tyler. My name is Zach.
I mean, you say that all the time.
You could at least theme it. You could have been like, I finished ahead of Tyler.
Yes, is that relevant to this game in particular, or like, are you just pointing it out?
I wanted to point it out. Okay. I do finish first more often than you, but...
And then insert Sonic the Hedgehog, and yeah.
Man,
you're too slow.
Remember that Sonic kart racer on the Xbox / GameCube / that was way better than it had any right to be?
I was going to say, I heard it wasn't as awful as you would expect it to be.
Yeah. So we're playing Mario Kart 64 today, because Zach suggested it, which is weird.
Hey, every so often I can pick games I don't like. Most of the time I've picked games I don't like.
Really quick, wasn't Crash Bandicoot Racers a thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, okay. Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, hey guys, we're...
Can you imagine the people making The Last of Us having made Crash Bandicoot? Because that's real. That is what that studio does now.
They also made Uncharted, as I understand it.
Yeah, I can imagine the studio that made Uncharted making The Last of Us.
Yeah, because Drake is basically just Crash Bandicoot,
but
human form.
Here's how this works. That company first made Crash Bandicoot. Then they decided they wanted to make something a little bit more realistic, so they made Jak and Daxter. Then they decided to be even more, and they made the Uncharted series.
Oh, you forgot the part where they made Jak and Daxter a third-person shooter.
Well, that was part of Jak and Daxter.
The first one, it sure ain't.
I know, but it's
Jak
part of that
Daxter
franchise.
Is just a straight up a Mario 64 ripoff, and then they were like, what if this was a third-person shooter?
It's in that franchise.
You're and right. Then, I'm just saying that's an important point to bring up.
To step in a little bit farther, and they made Uncharted, and they're like, you know what? What if we made a good game? And they made Last of Us.
It only took them 20 years.
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair, I've heard that Uncharted is actually quite good.
And
I've not played it.
And I've heard good things about
it. But Jak and Daxter kind of isn't.
You murder a lot of people.
I do that in COD.
Wait, is Uncharted the one I'm thinking of that's basically Tomb Raider, and then the new Tomb Raiders were like, hey, Uncharted's a good game, we should do all that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've heard Uncharted's a good game.
So what have you been playing, he with big ears?
I don't get it.
Because you heard that.
Oh, I see. What have I been playing? I don't think a whole lot of anything. I've been, like, slowly trying to decide what the hell my Pokemon Sun combat team should be, and desperately trying to get a shiny. Speaking of Pokemon, though, I have been playing Pokemon Go, and by that I mean I boot it up once a day to spin a Pokestop and catch a Pokemon and see if there's anything nifty about. They did, like, a festival of water event recently, so you could actually catch a Magikarp, finally.
How many Snubbles have you caught?
Enough to get a Granbull, and then I stopped catching Snubbles.
How many Dunsparce have you caught?
Zero. Alex has seen one, I think.
How many Larvitars have you caught?
One.
I'm jealous.
We don't have a great deal of water around here.
Well, no, we don't, but they did a festival of water. So anyway, there are a bunch of water Pokemon spawning everywhere, and I was catching a bunch of Magikarp, and I'm like, oh man, I might get a Gyarados in a year, and I didn't realize it was like a limited time event. They introduce Pineapp berries, which do not do what you think they ought. They instead make a Pokemon drop more candy when you catch it.
Huh.
Which is actually very useful if it's a rare Pokemon and you know you're going to need a bunch more candy. So I'm like sitting here catching Magikarp and I poke on one. And it does the like old gold and silver, this is a shiny Pokemon like rings sparkle animation. I'm like, what the just happened here? And it's a golden Magikarp. So, I have one shiny Magikarp in Pokemon Go.
Wow.
I know. Now, well, so the problem is, it's got terrible IVs. So, and there are not EVs in this game. So, I have one Magikarp with great IVs. I think it's actually got perfect sets. And this one shiny one, that now I'm obligated to evolve, because I need a red Gyarados. So, like, it's got to happen. But now I need 800 Magikarp candies.
You got to breed that golden Magikarp. And then all those golden Magikarps will lay 100 Magikarp eggs. And what else?
I considered Uninstalling Tales of Hysteria. It's one of those games that, like, I put about 90 hours into it, which is still not as much as in Pokemon. Like, I didn't like Pokemon Sun that much, but somehow I put over 100 hours into it. No idea how that happened.
You did complete your dex.
Yeah, that probably helped.
That's probably the reason, not that helped.
It probably helped. No, I was at like 60, just like going through the Elite Four and then kind of dicking around for a little bit.
And like I said, they made it really hard to catch most of the new Pokemon.
That is true. I didn't have a huge problem with it. So, Zestiria is a fairly long game, and then they have a new game plus, and like after the underwhelming and kind of depressing ending, I'm like, I don't really want to do the post-game stuff right now, and I don't, like, I can't imagine who wants to play through a whole 90-hour game on a new game plus mode. Okay, I guess Zach is actually the target audience for that, now that I'm thinking about it. You would probably like that game.
I did a new game plus on Agorist.
I keep considering doing a new game plus on Persona 4, or rather I did before my brother took his PS3 back.
Now, there was one game of that nature. Oh, no, it's Disgaea. I played through Disgaea like 3 or 4 times, but like I took a break in between and did other stuff.
Also, the answer is teenagers who cannot afford another video game.
That's fair.
The reason why I did it in Agorist is because I wanted to keep all my gear so that I would be able to actually have a chance of beating the game the right way and getting the proper ending.
Yeah, and this...
holy crap, that game is hard to get that ending on.
That's the other thing, is this game doesn't have multiple endings. So the gameplay changes on the second and third time through a little bit. So, like, plot events turn out slightly differently, but it still has the same ending.
What, did you look it up?
Yeah, no, I did. Like I said, the ending was, like, really depressing. I'm like, did I do something wrong? And like, no, they just, like, bit the bullet. They went there. Just everyone dies, basically. So.
I'm kind of curious to see the Tales of Berseria, because I've seen a lot of neat things about that one.
Well, that and the...
And apparently a perpetually angry main character.
Yeah, the character art for the main character is so badass. She is so cool.
Like I said, she's apparently perpetually angry, so I'm
well,
not sure why...
Well, obviously it appeals to Zach.
I'm not perpetually angry. I'm just angry a lot of the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a downgrade from your previous forms, where you were just perpetually angry.
I was perpetually tired.
Same thing, really.
Anything else, Tyler?
No, that's pretty much it. I've played some Smash in my spare time. I just have not had a whole lot of time to play games. Oh, I did play a couple games of Yu-Gi-Oh! Against Ed. So apparently my Dragons Are Cool deck just isn't very good anymore compared to my Sweet Insects Are Awesome deck, so which I actually think is still named Weevil deck.
You need a Dragons Are in Jurassic Park deck. Or dinosaurs, rather.
Yeah, I actually just unlocked Rex Raptor, and he's like, I don't always use dinosaurs. I have this Blue-Eyes Black Dragon. That's a card, right?
Red Eyes Black Dragon.
That's what I meant to say. Like, I've tried challenging you to games when you're online, and I found out that it does crap for actually indicating that someone is trying to challenge you.
I keep seeing you challenge me. I'm like, oh, how do I accept this? Oh, I'm in a duel with a computer now. Okay.
Yeah. The way it works is, like, in that, like, ticker bar up at the top where there's, like, that endless spam chat going on, it'll say, you've been challenged.
Yeah, I've seen it, but always when I'm loading into a duel with an NPC.
And from the perspective of the person who's doing the challenge, you literally just have to sit there and wait. There isn't, like, an asynchronous, like, this person accepted your challenge, you should, like, hook up now. So, I don't know. Like, their net play leaves a little something to be desired that I've seen other games do better.
It's okay, you would kick my ass.
Are you sure? Because I got a Weevil deck.
Yeah, I got a My deck. And it doesn't even have Harpy Queen in it.
Let me ask, is it the My deck, or I guess it's the My deck with Harpies, as opposed to the My deck with Amazons? Because the Amazon deck is still pretty good. I can barely beat it sometimes with the Weevil deck now. To Amazon is Tiger. It's just so good.
Yeah, it's hard to deal with. I got a 1,000 knives from Yugi when he was hanging out, so I kind of want to make a Dark Magician deck.
I only have one of those, but...
I don't have a Sage's Stone, though, so...
Oh, don't know what that does.
If you have the Dark Magician girl on the field, special summon Dark Magician.
Oh, that's useful. Out of graveyard or just anywhere?
Deck hand or graveyard.
Oh, and because he's already in the graveyard, because that's where you want him for Dark Magician girl.
I also don't have Magician Circle.
I do have a lot of those.
Which is obviously how you get Dark Magician girl out, and then you Sage's Stone, and then you sacrifice them both for Dark Chaos Warlock, but he's not in this game, so...
Nope, you could do Cosmo Queen. It's a pretty solid choice.
You have a ritual to summon Magician of Black Chaos.
Yeah. Yep. There's not even Magician of Dark Chaos in this game, which I would actually use.
Yeah, it is. Whatever the lower level one is.
No, Magician of Dark Chaos is the Magician of Black Chaos that doesn't require a ritual. And when you play him, you can search your deck for a spell and place it into your hand.
That seems useful. No, the ritual summoned one is in this game, so... I just, like, what's the difference between black and dark at some point? Like,
I mean, and there's Black Luster Soldier and candles. Dark Luster Soldier are so. So, yes, candles.
Because you need a ritual for one, you don't need a ritual for the other. So, candles.
Fair enough. I also have
no skilled Dark Magicians, which is the best card.
The thing I actually found out, because, like, you know, special summoning is obviously how you get done in this game. And I played against some, or they have the loner deck thing at the school that rotates out once a day. And I played some guy's sweet-ass ritual summoning deck that's just like, whale fortresses! All the time, whale fortresses! And the entire deck is built around getting one of two ritual summoned monsters out, and everything else in the deck is sacrifice this to ritual summon something.
So it's got Karibos and...
Yeah, it's got like a Blue Eyes in there whose sole purpose is to be treated as tribute to ritual summon something.
Blue Eyes Paladin is in this game, right? So it you is. Could make a pretty cool Blue Eyes deck. But they don't have Maiden with the Eyes of Blue, the most Blue Eyes broken card ever. She's a zero attack, 500 defense. If she's targeted by an attack, you switch her to defense mode and special summon a Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Oh, okay. That's
that is kind of broken.
Does she still have to take the hit?
Or no, you redirect to the Blue Eyes when you do that.
What?
And also, she's a tuner. And I know you don't know what tuners are because you're a baby.
Because synchro summoning.
Yeah, but you then use it to synchro summon Silver Eyes Azure Dragon.
What is this nonsense?
And then you use your Blue Eyes alternative White Dragon.
Okay, wait, let me go back a sec. Why do we care what color the eyes of all these dragons are?
Because it's cool to say in Japanese.
Okay.
Also, it's only Blue Eyes or Red Eyes. And also, it's mostly not dragons. White. Like, there's only the dragons there, right? There's also Red Eyes, Chaos, Archfiend, and...
I want a Red Eyes White Dragon. Or a Blue Eyes Black Dragon.
I want a Blue Eyes Blue Dragon.
Nah.
That is true.
That's too monochrome.
So what have you been playing, Captain Monochrome?
A lot of League of Legends. Some Helldivers. I started rewatching all of Attack on Titan since the second season's supposed to come out.
I feel like the best part of that show is the opening theme song, because, man, it's such a good opening theme
song. It is a very, very good opening theme song. I really like the part where Titan Eren saves Mikasa originally.
I don't recall enough of the story of this show.
Well, she's, like, got two Titans on either side, and he just kind of shows up and starts beating the snot out of the other Titans, and no one knows exactly what's going on.
Okay. Including Eren himself.
Yeah, because he doesn't know he's a Titan running around. But, no, I've been watching a lot more stuff. A lot of Ogre Battle still. I'm still chugging my way through that. I picked up the Pedra of Wind entirely by accident.
I feel like I usually get all the Pedras pretty early.
I'm not really trying because I don't need them.
What is a Pedra?
It's like a limit break, kind of.
If you last long enough in a fight, you can call the Pedra, which does damage. That's basically all it does is damage.
It's like a limit break.
But... it's not really all that useful. The Holy One, I don't remember how you get. You got to find a letter and deliver it to the right place. I do remember how to get the Bane Pedra, but I didn't want to go through the difficulty and annoyance of doing that.
Yeah, you have to break Batman's back. It's a problem.
No, you got to find a Hellhound and give a Hellhound to some kid.
You have to be born the in Bane. Prison.
Okay, actually, is there a society on Earth still that was like, oh, you're born in prison? Guess what? You got to serve your father's term. Does that happen anymore?
It happens in Batman comics in the 90s.
And then the other three Pedras that are supposed to be in the game are at training centers. You have to do like five training things and then they will appear there. But I don't know where they all are. I found the wind one entirely by accident.
So are they random locations or have you
They're not random locations. They actually are in three specific locations on the map for training. But which one is where is random. Because you pick one at the beginning of the game.
Okay, gotcha.
But it also determines the element that Magnus is.
I just, like, after the number of times you have played this game, I am surprised that you don't know the locations of everything.
Why would I remember that? You know how much shit there is in that game to remember?
It's also all really obscure. Anything else, Zach?
Not really. Like, I've just not been playing that many different things. Just a lot of Ogre Battle and a lot of League of Legends.
I still have not played Sombra yet.
What?
Wait, no, that's not true. Yes, I have.
Oh, Sombra from Overwatch?
Oh, yeah, sorry, you said League of Legends, and for some reason I interpreted that as Overwatch, and
no, I
don't know why.
I need to play some Overwatch, because their new tank champion just came out. Orisa? I have no idea. But yeah, a new character in Overwatch came out, so I need to play that and try that out. But since I haven't been doing anything, what have you been doing, Jeremy?
Well, I got a Nintendo Switch, but I got that literally today, so I have not played it yet, unless going to the store and purchasing Breath of the Wild counts as playing it.
Well, actually, do they support downloaded games
yeah.
for the Switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to buy any physical games for my Switch, because it is a mobile device, and I would prefer...
Okay. And those cartridges are freaking tiny. They're smaller than the DS carts.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, you've seen how small, like, most SD cards are.
So I got a 200 gigabyte SD card, so... that'll save at least 10 games.
Approximately.
threw me off. I totally misinterpreted when I first read the article about stuff being saved on the Switch. I thought it's specifically your saved games get saved to a specific piece of hardware.
Yeah.
I thought it was like anything you downloaded could only be used on that Switch.
Yeah, no. And like, to be fair, like 30 seconds of Googling.
I was also at work when I found that.
I also imported Super Robot Wars V.
Oh, man.
Brent Presto can't release Super Robot Wars games in America because there's a legal quagmire of all the...
That makes sense.
...things. But the PS4 is region-free, so they just released an English version of Super Robot Wars V in Japan. And are like, yeah, don't import this. That wouldn't be good.
That's really sweet, actually. Okay, well, first of all, I guess I'm surprised that that's region-free.
Yep, but I think a lot of them seem like are.
I don't know about the Xbox One, but I know the Switch and the PS4 are both supposed to be region free.
I feel like the PS3 was as well.
I don't know enough about that. I know the 360 was not region free.
So yeah, I have Super Robot Wars V just sitting there. That's probably going to get pushed because I'm going to play Breath of the Wild instead. But I will get to do some sweet Kira Yamato meeting Jinji Ikari action soon.
Shinji from Evangelion. Right.
And he's going to be like, angst. And Kira's going to be like, also angst.
Angst harder?
The great thing about Super Robot Wars J is all the girls just trying to cheer Kira up constantly. So yeah, and I've been trying to finish Final Fantasy 15 before I play anything else. But I keep doing side quests because they're so much better than the story. So I'm not making much progress.
You're definitely going to have to let us know how Zelda Skyrim is.
I keep hearing it's great, but I don't know.
I have heard good things about it.
Well, I really like the cooking minigame, which is literally the only thing I've seen from it.
I mean, I really like the Elder Scrolls, and I rather like Zelda. So.
See, I really like the Zelda, and I don't like the Elder Scrolls, so we'll see.
I know, it seems like a combination made in heaven for me, so we'll see how much I like it compared to Skyrim, because I put a lot of time into Skyrim.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, I don't think I have anything specific to say about Final Fantasy XV, which is all I've actually played.
So, I mean, you'll have to let me know when you start playing Breath of the Wild so I can, like, bite the bullet or not, because I put Zestiria to bed, and I haven't had time to pick up something long yet, but I'm going to soon.
So, yeah, it might be a while, because I do want to finish Final Fantasy XV, and I'm only halfway through it. That said, the story chapters are literally taking me under an hour each, and I've only got 7 left.
Oh, well.
And you can help me in Helldivers.
So yes, I can, at some point in the nebulous future, help you with Helldivers to get the sweet laser cannon. Or you can help me on mine, because I'm also in the middle of a 3-thing mission to get the laser cannon. So
yeah.
And mine's not a survive an endless horde.
It would be a much easier if it wasn't a freaking cage match.
Yeah, all 3 of mine, I think, are just like wander through place and do normal objectives.
That's better.
I kind of want to do the survival. Ed wouldn't let me try one again, and I haven't had another one pop up.
I've got another one.
So speaking of survival, we played Mario Kart 64. There's literally nothing for me to transition with. I was thinking about trying to transition from the Regalia in Final Fantasy 15, but I didn't bring it up.
See, it'd be better off if I'd recently been playing Split Second, but unfortunately I haven't been.
Or if I'd been Chocobo Racing, but I also haven't been.
But Split Second is very much closer to this game. There's actually a lot of stuff similar.
Yeah, I've seen it. So yeah, we played Mario Kart 64, which I feel like is, I was going to say base Mario Kart for most people. But our listeners might be more familiar with Double Dash. It's definitely sort of where the franchise took more cues than the original Super Mario Kart. You have 8 playable characters. Donkey Kong has replaced Donkey Kong Jr. But otherwise, I feel like it's pretty much the same roster as before.
The first one had a Koopa Troopa in it, didn't it?
Oh, you're right. It did.
Yep. I don't think there's a Koopa Troopa in this one.
There is not.
But you get Bowser, but not Dry Bowser.
Characters are divided into 3 different basically stats. There's light characters, which handle and accelerate faster, but have the lowest top speed.
That's what Peach and Yoshi.
And Toad. There are heavy characters, which handle poorly, but have highest top speed, which are Wario, Donkey Kong, and Bowser. And then there are middle characters, who are Mario and Luigi.
Mario is the Mario of this game.
I played Mario.
And so is Luigi. Luigi is also the Mario of this game. It's like the movie.
I played Bowser.
I did too, but that's because I've played this game enough to know that's the way to go. Although you can't tell, because the AI in this game is so rubber bandy that Peach will stick to you like glue, even though she's supposed to be slower. And then she'll pass you, and then as soon as she's ahead of you, she becomes slower. So you pass her again.
It's really badly rubber banded, and you don't feel like you're going fast in the first place, so it doesn't matter much.
I mean, that's because go-karts have a top speed of like 20 miles an hour. So
it's a fantasy. You can make them go faster. And actually, there are some go-karts that actually go a lot faster than that.
Yeah, I know. I've been on them.
So Mario Kart is a racing game, obviously. It's got some stuff that the original didn't. In particular, it's got drifting now. You can drift around corners by holding one of the triggers. And while you're doing that, you can move the control stick back and forth to gain a boost when you finish drifting.
And which kind of becomes a staple of the series from here on.
It's probably the main mechanic of the game, I would say. It is the thing that makes it more than just a game where you take turns. There's also a drafting mechanic that's a lot harder to notice, but if you're right behind another go-kart, you will get a speed boost after a few seconds.
See, for me at least, playing a lot of games like Shift and other mainline racing games, yeah. Like Shift and Forza.
Less arcadey racing
drifting
games.
Drifting is a bad idea.
Yeah, generally.
You lose so much speed if you're sliding.
Yeah, I actually find it's funny, in all arcade racing games, you always want to be drifting. And in, realistic racing games, you never want to be drifting
because it looks
fishtail.
It looks cool. And actually, in stuff like Dirt, drifting is fine. But in stuff like Shift, drifting is not.
Also, you get items, like the previous Mario Kart. They've done away with the coin mechanic, where you would collect coins to go faster. Which I actually find I kind of miss. I don't really like Super Mario Kart. But I do like that risk-reward aspect of rewarding you for going out of your way with a little top speed. The items here are, I guess, kind of the standard ones. You've got the green shell, which you just shoot forward, the banana peels. You've got the red shells, which are homing. You can get three of either type of shell. There's the invincibility star. There's a bunch of bananas, which actually kind of trail behind you, and I kind of like that look. There's a boo, which will make you invincible and also steal a nearby racer's item.
Oh, is that what it does?
Yes.
I didn't know it stole the item. I thought it just gave you a random item.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that was inspired by Mario Party, actually.
This game predates Mario Party, though. This is the first instance of Boo stealing stuff.
Huh. Good to know.
And there's the lightning bolt, which punishes everybody else. You only really get it if you're near the end. And the blue shell, though it's not in its final form yet. It just kind of acts like a green shell, but it goes after the first player.
Did you mention the mushrooms?
Oh, and of the speed boost mushrooms, which are really important. We'll talk about this more later, but they give you a little speed boost. You can get one of them, three of them, or a golden one that works for a limited amount of time.
Similar to earlier Mario Kart and, I guess most other racing games, there's rough terrain. Don't drive on it.
One of the main benefits of the mushroom, it doesn't just boost your speed, it lets you ignore the penalty for rough terrain.
Which allows you to take some pretty zany shortcuts sometimes.
The items aren't nearly as prevalent, I feel like, as they get to be in Double Dash and later Mario Karts. They are an obstacle. You want to avoid them. But the AI is not very good at using them, so they very rarely are going to disrupt you. They are mostly just a force to help you. Obviously, that changes in multiplayer, where
everyone has items and can use them.
Yeah.
And isn't blisteringly stupid.
But for the most part, you're very rarely going to have your life ruined by a blue shell. And since you can hold out items behind you to protect yourself, usually you're going to be fine.
I think I hit my own shell, and I think that was the only time I got hit with a shell.
So there's a nice that adds a nice risk-reward to using shells at all, which I like. It is weird to me how slow shells are in this. It's very easy to pass your own shells, which I find kind of awkward.
A little bit.
So let's talk about the courses, because they're kind of uninspired, both from a racing perspective and a theming perspective. They're not the stuff Mario Kart's going to get to with really wacky stuff. You're starting to see the start of that. There are a few Toad's Highway, where you're literally on the highway. And of course, there's Rainbow Road. I really like the Bowser's Castle map in this, which has thwomps coming after you. But there's nothing that's super exciting or has a real cool centerpiece.
Yeah, so the majority of the stages are just forgettable, I
They're
guess.
They're all really, really boring. They're like, hey, look, there's shit in the way. Okay, but this course itself isn't interesting in the slightest.
But Zach, it's in 3D.
It's still not interesting.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the last couple of ones, Yoshi's Valley is this one that has multiple paths, and the harder the path is to navigate, the shorter it is. And I find that one pretty interesting because you're making on-the-fly choices of, do I take the shortcut now? Am I confident I can make it? Like I said, I really like Bowser's Castle because it's got moving obstacles you have to dodge. But for the most part, the courses don't do much. I like some of the later ones. There's a lot of turns which really let you use that drifting mechanic to its full extent. But a lot of the courses, more than half of them, are really nothing courses.
Yeah, on our way down here, because we're at Tyler's place today, me and Jeremy were talking about this. And I pointed out that a lot of the courses that I really like in other games are very technical, like in Shift. There's the Nürburgring, Laguna Seca, Road America. They're all very different from one another, and there are different ways of approaching those courses because some are higher speed, some are more technical in the turning and all that. These courses don't have that. The courses are very wide, very open, and very, very easy to go around turns without screwing anything up.
That's even in the newer Mario Karts. I think they did a Super Nintendo Rainbow Road inspired one. It has like no edges at all. That one's very technical, and it's one of my favorite courses because you actually have to think about what you're doing.
But that's in the future of this game. This game has very little of that. The Rainbow Road in this game, I think, has some technical turns where you really risk going off the edges. And same with Yoshi's Valley, like I said, but for the most part, there's not a lot of that.
Of course, I prefer those other more technical racing games because I like having to make that decision of slowing down or pushing it. But this one, you don't have a great deal of that. It's a hold A until done. Really, I mean, there's a couple of levels in which there's stuff that, yeah, you can brake to get around it, and you need to in certain cases. But generally speaking, if you're not in the process of just holding the gas the entire time you're playing the game, you're doing something wrong.
I actually, like, it's kind of like an auto runner game, right? Like, you're just going forward and dodging obstacles while you're going forward.
Well, I mean, I started the first cup, fell asleep, and found out I'd won all three cups.
There is skill, I think, in taking the turns as well as you can with the drifting, but the AI is so rubber bandy, you can't really see what edge that's giving you. It works better in multiplayer, but even then, it's not like the turns are hard to take. It's just about taking them as well as you can. Or the place I think this game does kind of shine is in its time trials, because a lot of these courses have kind of hidden areas or shortcuts that are only accessible with a mushroom. You can't depend on having a mushroom in the main game, but the time trials, you get 3 mushrooms at the start of each one.
And you have to time your use of them.
Yeah, so figuring out when is the best part to use this mushroom is a big part of it, and so is, should I use 3 and 3 different shortcuts to get one real good lap, or should I use the same one every lap to cut my time the most? Yeah. And also in the time trials, you don't have the rubber bandy AI coming after you, so...
So you can actually see yourself improve and, like, know where in the course you can turn to cut off, like, that fraction of a second that's going to give you the edge in competitive.
Yeah, that's always the problem with any kind of rubber bandy AI. You can't see improvement, really, because the AI is getting better as you're getting better, it amps up the challenge, but the way you would do that is you get the AI better, like, AI better as racing. You go higher up in the tier. You don't just make them stick to your ass the entire time.
I mean, it's not Cruising USA levels of rubber banding, but...
It's pretty close.
Yeah, I really don't like the AI in this game. But I think the time trials have a lot of nice features in addition to that. You can save ghosts of yourself, which really helps with you seeing...
Yeah, like, you can see where you made a mistake.
Yeah, and also you can like compete with yourself. If you have a really good run, you can see what you did there and start to see how to do better. There also, each track has like an invisible target time. I say invisible. It's actually in the manual, but
it's actually like printed in the game.
But... And if you hit that target time, you'll unlock like a developer ghost, which is a nice benchmark to try to beat.
Which, yeah, is theoretically better than whatever the target time was.
Yeah.
Some of them are really hard, too.
And I really like that aspect of the game, but the Grand Prix isn't great. It's scored basically there are 4 different cups of 4 races each. The better you do, obviously, the more points you get. The way it's scored, it's real easy to fall behind if you do poorly. We've talked about this game being pretty easy, so that doesn't really happen.
Well, that's a normal thing to do for this kind of circuit points type gameplay, where you get a certain number of points based on where you finish.
Yeah, but this game, it's really punishing if you finish poorly on one track. In a way, even future Mario Karts are a little more forgiving in that respect.
Well, part of it is
giving you more points the further down you go.
Grand Prix is so short, having one bad course is going to throw you off pretty badly.
There's actually a secret ending if you make exactly 4th place, which is super hard to get just because it's super hard to purposely get 4th.
I'm sorry, I've never heard of this. What is that?
Oh, it's just you being all emo. Like, you see, like, the award ceremony, and you see the top 3 people, and you're like, you drive to a cliff and just look somberly over it, and, like, the Lakito is flying above you, like, if you fall, I'm gonna get you.
That's just silly.
And this game has lots of kind of cool hidden stuff off its courses. There's, like, an entire recreation of the Mario 64 Peach's Castle off the road on one of them. There's some cool stuff, but, like, the tracks are kind of boring, and the AI is just terrible. even though I think this game has some pretty cool ideas that it uses to better effect in later games, I was real disappointed revisiting it.
Yeah, I mean, I called it, but this is not a good game. It's got some decent-ish ideas, but it doesn't do really anything particularly well. Yeah, it does a couple of time trials, but there are other games that do time trials just as well in the same vein.
I guess along the same lines, though, I don't know that it's a bad game. I think it commits the much worse sin of being actively mediocre.
It's incredibly boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I think if you're trying the time trials, if you're trying to beat your own time, that is pretty interesting. But that's not a hidden mode, but it's not what's up front. We should also talk about the battle mode, which is introduced here.
Oh, I forgot about
which
that.
Which I actually really like. It's basically just a mode where you're using your items on each other. You're in little battle arenas. Each player has 3 hit points, basically.
Mm-hmm. It is perfected, I think, in Diddy Kong Racing.
I remember playing a lot of that when we were younger.
I think it's a pretty good mode. It's actually, I think, more fun than just racing your friends in this particular game, since the game can't handle AI simulation and multiple players, although I don't think you would want it to with how bad the
AI is rubber banded.
But the way the courses are, they're so wide, they feel kind of empty with only a couple of players on them.
But if you have a 4-person fight for first, then suddenly that, or the width of the course becomes relevant because you need an outside passing lane.
The battle mode is, I think, the in a way, better design mode because the tracks are really bad. But if I remember the battle mode correctly, it's very much more contained. So you're going to be forced into conflict with the other players much more often.
I mean, if you're trying to avoid the other players, it's something you can do. But it's something you have to do by being mobile and being fast. And if you make a mistake, you're going to be targeted. I think it's pretty fun. I'm kind of sad that they kind of shifted what that mode is in the more recent games, but it's a cool idea. Any other things we want to say about Mario Kart 64? Like I said, this is a game I loved, and I think there are some genuinely good ideas here, but none of them are executed well enough. None of the courses super stand out other than Bowser's Castle, which I've talked about a lot. And there are some cool mechanics, but they're just not together yet.
I mean, I don't know that I have anything to add that I haven't already said. Like, I really like Double Dash. It's a fun game.
Yeah. It's just not good.
All right, so speaking of not good, we have a list on our website at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com listing all the games we've played from the most good to the least good.
Most of the things on it are not good.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I feel like a little more than half are.
Most of them are okay, but we have a subset of them that are very good, a subset of them that are very bad, and a mostly sized subset of conditionally good.
Yeah, a lot of pretty okay.
So at the top, the most okay of all is Chrono Trigger.
The most okay.
The least okay is Echo the Dolphin.
That we call that one KO.
The most okay, or like, no, I already said that. The okayest.
The okayest of the okay.
is Crazy Taxi.
That's a pretty okay game.
This is worse than Crazy Taxi.
I think I agree, but let's start a little lower down, actually quite a bit lower down.
Cruising USA!
With Super Mario Kart. I think it's better than the Super Nintendo Super Mario Kart. It doesn't have the awful graphics. The items work a lot better.
The tracks are just as bad, but it's just a little better.
I would say the tracks are much worse than the Super Nintendo one. Like, the controls are a lot tighter in this. The drift dashing makes it a lot more interesting to actually try to take turns tightly. There's a lot more going on in this game in a way that makes it slightly more interesting.
The next racing game we have on the list is Wave Race 64, a contemporary of the game. It came out a little earlier. I actually like this game more than I like Wave Race. I feel like the prees are more forgiving.
I think Wave Race 64 is a better game. The tracks are better designed. The AI is better.
It's so much more like...
It's more interesting.
I don't think it's more interesting.
I do think the AI is better, but I think the trade-off there is there are only 3 AI opponents as opposed to 7. But I will take that for...
The tracks are better designed.
Here's why it's more interesting. The tracks are better because, you know, in a lot of ways they're more technical. Sliding between the buoys for your speed boost and whatnot is a lot better off in that game as well than this one's just kind of puttering along.
My counter-argument to that, though, is like, man, the setting of this game is just so blasé.
Wave Race, you mean?
Yeah, it acts as...
So is Mario 60, or Super Mario Kart.
At least it's colorful.
Yeah, it's
Mario Kart 64. So is Wave Race.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
There's an entire level that's black.
I definitely like the ambiance of Mario Kart 64 more than Wave Race. I like going to various Mario locations, even though I don't think the set pieces are there yet. But I actually do think the AI being better is a good point. Wave Race 64, I don't like the difficulty. It also has that trick mode, which I have actually kind of like a bit.
So, I was... To clarify, despite the fact that it sounded like I was arguing against Zach, I do actually think Wave Race is a better designed game. I just really dislike the setting in Wave Race.
All right, so we're going to put it below Wave Race then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so the only game that's kind of comparable in here is Pilot Wings. I think it's better than Pilot Wings.
Yeah, it's better than Pilot Wings.
Doesn't quite
Yeah, so that's not a hard bar to jump, frankly.
But now we get to the hard ones.
Yeah, how do we think it compares to Dragon Quest?
I think
Dragon Quest is a lot more influential, even if it, and it's got some better design decisions.
Mario Kart dictated its own genre, and it did kind of expand to like Diddy Kong Racing and Crash Bandicoot Racing, but I think that's a small enough subset worth of games to say it doesn't really have that great of influence, whereas Dragon Quest really does. I hated Dragon Quest, though.
I played more Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I think Dragon Quest is a little better, just a little. But I do think that.
I would agree. I'm not going to fight you on that one. I don't think
now
Mario Kart
this.
Is better.
Dragon Quest Racers. There's a slime operating a little like box cart thing.
They made a Dragon Quest Minecraft / Terraria game recently. Oh. That I hear is really good.
What was it?
Dragon Quest Builders.
No, what was it called? Fortune Street.
Oh, Fortune Street.
Where you can have the slime.
Oh, I forgot to mention. I played
mogul.
Some of that with my brother.
That game is actually surprisingly good.
Yeah, yep. It's Monopoly, but good, and I don't know how they did it, but they did.
It's better with four full people, because the computer is too good at it.
Or you just do the dumb computers, and they're terrible at it, so you can ignore them. All right, so how do we think Mario Kart compares to Fatal Fury King of Fighters?
This is the first one, right, where you only have the three characters?
Yeah, Terry, Andy, and other guys.
Joe is his name, I'm pretty sure.
I think...
Duck King is an excellent dish.
I think Mario Kart 64 is actually a better game because I think King of Fighters hides too much mechanics from you. Like, you can go back and forth on the screen, but only after the computer has done it first.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that's a hidden mechanic. That's just like an inaccessible mechanic.
I feel like Fatal Fury is a better execution of a fighting game than Mario Kart 64 is of a racing game. But I feel like Mario Kart 64 is a lot more influential in its genre. Sort of starting its own subgenre, like you said. Not really starting, because Super Mario Kart predates it. But I feel like this codifies it a lot more.
Yeah.
Although it postdates Diddy Kong Racing, so.
Does it?
Yeah, Diddy Kong came out earlier. I think. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think. I think it should go above, but it's a very weak feeling on my part.
I think Jeremy's right. Got to give it to it based on the influence, because both games are kind of on the mediocre side of things, and King of Fighters just doesn't have the kind of influence that you see in other games like Street Fighter and its contemporaries.
Well, and it's almost a direct ripoff of Fighting Street, right? So
it's kind of a footnote in fighting game history.
It postdates Street Fighter 2. That's almost all you have to say, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So Mario Kart 64 will go number 133 below Dragon Quest and above Fatal Fury.
So in that conditionally good
Near the bottom of the conditionally good era.
Yeah.
Area.
I think King of Fighters might actually have that position locked. That is the end of the conditionally
well,
good.
Well, what's right below that?
No, I think Metal Marines is the bottom of that, which is quite a bit lower.
Okay.
I mean, Metal Marines is interesting. It just isn't very good, unless you want to
Okay, that's true, yeah.
Although Altered Beast is below that, and that was also a decent bottom. Looking at stuff below Altered Beast, there's nothing I like.
That was memey. That wasn't really a good game.
So
that was very
memey. That's a fun game to play while drunk.
So I can...
conditionally good.
Yeah, conditionally,
okay, fair.
I can recommend it.
That is fair. Rise from your grave.
All right, Tyler, what are we going to rise from its grave next week?
So, it's been a while since we've taken up the role of a ninja warrior platforming his way through way too many enemies.
Are we going to play Shinobi?
No. No, we're not. Nor are we playing Ninja Gaiden 2. I know that's been on the list for a while. We're instead... Man, I've already forgotten the name of this game.
Wow,
because
it's so memorable.
Generically named. It is Flying Dragon, The Secret Scroll by Culture Brain.
Does Jackie Chan star in that by any chance?
It sounds like a Bruce Lee or a Jet Li joint.
I can see Jackie Chan doing it, depending on whether or not it's supposed to be a comedy.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a comedy.
Wikipedia says it is a side-scrolling platformer with, quote, RPG-like elements. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but it sounds quite interesting.
I don't think they do either.
So speaking of Jackie Chan, maybe we'll cut this, but this episode has been short. So I want to tell you guys about Robin B. Hood, a movie I watched recently. Are either of you familiar with Raising Arizona?
I'm familiar with it, but...
Okay, so basically imagine it's Jackie Chan and another Asian comedian who I'm not as familiar with in a Raising Arizona situation. They are hired by, like, their crime boss guy to steal a baby who may be the grandson of a crime lord whose son has died. But while they're kidnapping him, the guy who got them the job is put in prison for, like, a parking ticket. So they've got to raise this baby for 2 weeks while their guy who knows what's going on gets out of jail. So they bond with the baby. And when they go to the crime lord, who has an amusement park as his base that he built for his son. So basically, he's the Joker. they give him a grandson. They don't want to. And so he doesn't pay them. And he's like, I will give you your lives, but because I understand you wanting to protect this baby, but you don't get the money. And then at this point, they flip the switch from movie to Jackie Chan movie. Because the crime lord does a paternity test, finds out it is not his grandson, and puts him in a cryogenic freezer where the son's body is to die. So Jackie Chan has to fight his way through this amusement park to get to the baby before it freezes to death.
Why cryogenically freeze it?
Oh, he cryogenically froze his son's body, hoping that future technology would let him revive the dead.
No, why freeze the baby?
Because he's upset that it's not his grandson. So this is how he decides to get rid of it.
Tyler, one of the best things about it is baby sickles. They're great.
That is true. As an atheist, I enjoy babies in all their forms. Baby sickles are high on the list, especially chocolate-dipped baby sickles.
So next time on Last Time, probably no Jackie Chan.
Probably no Jackie Chan.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2017. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. To listen to past episodes and see other content, visit www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, you can do so at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate a 5-star review, or if you just told a friend about the show. What is a podcast? A miserable pile of secrets. But this one is over. See you next week. See, this is like in Harvest Moon 64 when your wife will feed your chickens for you or plant your crops. Only Alex is going to go catch larvitars for Tyler.
If I remember right, Karen doesn't do that.
She does one of them, but yeah, Karen's a bimbo, so she is not very helpful.
But she's also the easiest one to get.
So, I forgot how I was going to end that segue, but this was much better.